Hola y bienvenidos a Confessions of a Curious Ear, el podcast donde exploramos el mundo a través de historias, Spanglish y sarcasmo. Mi nombre es Laura Matías y hoy vamos a hablar sobre el libro Turtles All the Way Down de John Green. Este libro de YA Fiction fue publicado en el 2017 y está set in Indianapolis. Trata sobre esta muchacha que se llama Eva y ella tiene OCD, Obsessive Compulsive Disorder, también conocido como Trastorno Obsesivo Compulsivo o TOC. Y OCD is a mental illness that causes repeated unwanted thoughts or sensations or the urge to do something over and over again, you know, the compulsion, the obsession. Este libro trata básicamente sobre Eva, que tiene esta condición, y cómo es su vida con este trastorno, de cómo es contado desde first person narrative, así que estamos viendo las cosas a través de la perspectiva de Eva y vemos su thought process. Podemos ver esos pensamientos intrusivos e invasivos que se quedan en su cabeza y de cómo ella no puede evitar hacer ciertas cosas, como que ella trata de luchar contra eso, pero no puede, y cómo es su vida y cómo afecta sus relaciones. It's a really, really interesting read. Este libro, como que cuando salió, causó bastante furor. You know, John Green is super famous, that's the first thing. Y también porque John Green también tiene OCD y era como que todo el mundo estaba como que, oh, are you like Eva? And he's like, well, in some ways I am like Eva, but in others not. So, sí. Y mucha gente ha dicho de que, ah, this is the most honest depiction of OCD and mental illness. I mean, it's so accurate. And yeah, I cannot speak to that, but I'll believe them. Y sí, este libro, I have like a complicated relationship with this book. La primera vez que lo leí, me puso súper nervioso, me fue medio difícil leerlo, y es una, y yo no creo que solamente soy yo, para muchas personas es bastante, me ha escuchado que es bastante difícil leerlo, porque estás dentro de la mente de una persona con un trastorno obsesivo, compulsivo, que sus pensamientos son muy fuertes, y que están en este cycle de obsesión y compulsión, y es muy difícil de leer, pero para mí específicamente que siento que fue bastante fuerte, porque yo soy medio hipocondriaca, por eso es que no estudié ni medicina, ni psiquiatría, ni ninguna de estas health related careers, porque soy medio hipocondriaca, así que yo leo los síntomas y soy como que, mierda, yo tengo eso, y yo también, oh my god, I have OCD, oh my god, y me pasó la primera vez que leí este libro, me afectó mucho, I thought I had OCD, but then the rational part of my brain was just there, like, calm down, idiot, you don't have OCD, maybe you have depression, that's for sure, but you don't have OCD, that much I can tell you, so calm down. Ahora la segunda vez que lo leí, bueno, no me dio tanto esas cosas hipocondriacos, maybe because I had already read it. But yeah, I just found like her spiraling thoughts very relatable, which isn't great. But that's why I go to therapy. Okay, sí. Este libro it's hard to read, but it's very worth it. You understand people with OCD better. It's like super interesting going to that perspective. And it's a very interesting story porque, you know, Eva y su mejor amiga Daisy están tratando de resolver este misterio because there's this billionaire dude who disappeared y como que le dan dinero there's a reward every time you give information about the man, pero también Eva is friends with the son, the said billionaire que desapareció, so, you know, we got some conflict there and there's a little bit of romance like in all John Green's books. It's a really interesting book, lo recomiendo, yo le puse un 4 de 5, great read, totally recommended. Ahora vamos a pasar a la sección de los spoilers, así que vaya a leer el libro y después venga a terminar de escuchar el episodio. I'll be here waiting for you. Bye. Ok, comencemos. So yeah, como ya hemos mencionado, empezamos con Eva and we see her spiraling thoughts. O sea, los spiraling thoughts que particularmente a ella le molestan es que, you know, she's aware of the fact that, o sea, como que las bacterias. Esa muchacha no quiere saber de bacterias. She's always putting hand sanitizer on her hands. And she's always super clean and she cannot do with dirt. You know, ese es como el clásico OCD that everybody sees. Y también como que ella está, pero no solamente con las bacterias de la tierra afuera de ella, sino también porque, you know, there's bacteria inside our bodies. That bacteria help us digest food. And Eva is aware of this bacteria and she's just there like, oh my god, there's bacteria inside me. That's so gross. I wanna. And she eats hand sanitizer and soap thinking that this will help. And her spiraling thoughts are just there like, this is stupid. This is not helping. This bacteria is important. It's part of me. It's helping me do digestion. And I by eating hand sanitizer, this is not gonna help me. But on the other hand, she's also, but her spiraling thoughts are also like, do it, do it. You know you have to. You can never be sure. Como que, it's kind of like a battle of her against her. Like I said, I found this super relatable, which I shouldn't, but that's a problem for another day. Ella va a la escuela, su papá está muerto, her mom is a school teacher, she has a car, como que está super beat up, pero era de su papá, and she keeps her around because oh, it was her dad's, and it helps her keep close to him, y también el celular de su papá, she keeps it around, even though she doesn't need it, and you know, she has the pictures inside on her computer, but you know, she wants to have it because oh, it's her dad's phone, sentimental value and whatnot. Okay, so she also has this best friend. Her name is Daisy. Daisy loves Star Wars. She writes fan fiction that a lot of people, very famous fan fiction about Star Wars. Y ella, Eva, son mejores amigas. They're always going to this place where they have coupons to eat burgers. And she's kind of a very talkative person. Y Eva is more like the quiet type, mostly because she's always like inside her head. Like she's always like in deep reflection, thinking of like, oh my God, the bacteria. Oh my God. Yeah, that's kind of like what's going on. Y como ya mencioné antes, está este billonario que desaparece because he did embezzlement and they're gonna arrest him. Así que él desapareció. And you know, they're giving reward money to anybody who gives information de su paradero. Y Daisy está ahí como que, oh, you were friends with el hijo de ese hombre, ¿verdad? And she's just, and Eva's just there like, yes. And Daisy's like, okay, let's put you two in contact so maybe it can help us out to find the man and get the reward and the money. Yay! So, that's so they do. Ellos van como que, porque hay un río que pasa por el lado de la casa del muchacho, and they go to the river to try to get to his house, but they get caught. Pero después se encuentra con el muchacho, and they rekindle their friendship, porque ellos se conocen cuando eran niños, and they rekindle their friendship. And, you know, this boy, his name is Davis, y yeah, Davis is great. You know, he's super... Como que él tiene this rocky relationship with his dad. He's just like, oh, his dad was never around. His dad was kind of standoffish. And él no quiere saber del padre. Él no quiere saber de la reward. He's just... Y ahora él está solo. Ahora que su papá desapareció, está solo con su hermano. Y él está tratando de ser like a parent to his younger brother. But he can't because he is his brother. And the brother needs his father. And the brother misses his father. And you know, it's the whole thing. But Davis, as a person, he's great. I love him. Although, his poetry and writing is very cringy. But whatever. He's smart, sweet, kind, respects Eva's boundaries. He's awesome. However, yo sé que este libro gets like mucho hype and love because it depicts OCD so accurately and realistically, which is great. But you know what? It is very unrealistic about this book and that it's kind of laughable how unrealistic it is. Billionaires and billionaires' kids. Davis, you just heard what I said about him. He's smart, sweet, kind, respects Eva's boundaries. Does that sound like son of a billionaire to you? Not really. And no offense to all the sons and daughters of billionaires that obviously listen to my podcast, obviously. But let's be real. The majority of you are entitled jerks. The fact that Davis is this great... respectful guy, it's kind of weird and kind of an anomaly and kind of strange. And there's a lot of strange things about the fact that he is this billionaire's kid. First of all, what kind of billionaire lives in Indianapolis? Not in LA, not in New York, not in Georgia, not in Washington, not in Chicago, in freaking Indianapolis? Am I missing something? Is there something in Indianapolis that I'm not aware of? Why is this billionaire here? More importantly, being a billionaire, I mean, Davis, being the son of a billionaire, you would think that, I don't know, the paparazzi and the cameras and the press will be after him. Especially porque su papá está metido en este escándalo of the embezzlement. So, yeah, but Davis just goes around. He goes to Eva's house. They go to a diner. They go places and no paparazzi, no high security. This, o sea, literalmente, como que después de las seis, all the personnel just leaves the house. Just leave and the house is empty. And I'm just there like... What the heck is this? Is this how it works? I don't know. I'm not a billionaire. I don't know any billionaires. I'm not familiarized with this lifestyle. Maybe this is very accurate, but this sounds fake. Nobody's like this. Like, what the heck? It's just super jarring to me. Ahora, Eva y Davis as a couple. They're so cute. They're so great. Like I said, Davis respects the boundaries and they understand each other because, you know, both their parents died because, you know, Davis lost his mom. His mom died. He's super respectful of Eva and her OCD, and they're so sweet together, and she likes his poetry and his writing, even though it's super cringy, but whatever, love's gotta love, I guess. And yeah, it's so sweet and I like them. Another point, the contention in this is la investigación de Pritchett, porque this, la investigación de Pritchett, there are complaints de que no era necesario tener esta investigación de ellas investigando dónde está el papá de Davis, que por cierto, Davis' last name is Pritchett, so su papá durante el libro le decimos Pritchett. Y si ese billonario, ese hombre, el papá de Davis, como que Ava y Daisy como que al principio empiezan a trabajar en eso y hacen eso, pero but then the, Davis pays them to stop looking for her, for the dad, and Daisy just drops it, but Ava continues, more for like the little brother asks her like, hey, can you keep investigating where my dad is? I would really like to know where he is. Y ella como que sigue investigando para que, por el hermanito, so he has some peace of mind. Pero sí, hay mucha gente, y al final, como que al final del libro, encontramos a Pritchett. And people say like, oh, that's kind of random, because yeah, at the beginning of the book, we were doing this investigation, but then he gets robbed and then comes back at the end. That's kind of weird. Why do it at all? And I don't know, yo debo admitir que sí, para mí la primera vez que lo leí was kind of jarring, pero ahora que lo leí por segunda vez, it doesn't feel as jarring. I mean, it may not be the focus. This is not a mystery novel. This is not about the investigation de la desaparición de este billonario. Pero it does, Ava still like looks for him. He's still the big catalyst of the story. I mean, Ava would have never met Davis. Well, rekindle his friend, her friendship with Davis, si no hubiese sido por la desaparición del papá. And she still, throughout the novel, keeps investigating para decirle al hermano sobre el papá. So I wouldn't say it's completely out of nowhere, but that's just my thought. Aunque debo admitir que sí. Si en el medio de la historia se hubieran maybe focused on it a little bit more, it would have been better. Maybe not make it a focus, but maybe a little bit more focus. Just saying. Ahora, una parte del libro. Porque Ava, you know, is living her life and whatnot. Y luego un día, recuerden que menciona que Daisy, su mejor amiga, ella writes fanfic de Star Wars. Y Ava no ve Star Wars. She's not interested, so she doesn't read her friend's fanfiction. Pero un día, a ella le nace leer ese fanfiction. Así que ella lo abre y empieza a leerlo. And there's this character, que no me acuerdo en ese momento cómo se llama, creo que era Layla. Sí, creo que era Layla. Me corrigen si estoy equivocada, pero sí. Este personaje que está en el fanfiction, que se llama Layla, and she is just the worst. Everybody hates her. Layla causes all the problems of the main group. Y Ava se da cuenta de que, I am Layla. Daisy wrote a character based on me, and this character is the worst. It's annoying. It causes the problem, all the problems. Layla is literally the worst, and Ava is angry about this. So she confronts Daisy about it. She's like, hey, I read your fanfiction. I know what you did. Y esto me da pique, porque Daisy then accuses Ava of being so stuck inside her head that she doesn't care about the people around her. She justifies like, oh, it's fine that I wrote Layla because I just do it as a, como que para desahogarse, because it's so hard being Ava's friend, because Ava is never like, pays attention to anything. She's always stuck in her own head. She's so selfish. She doesn't care about me and our friendship, and you don't care, and blah, blah, blah. And it angers me. Don't get me wrong. Daisy is not like my favorite character or anything, but, you know, I like her all right. Pero después de esto, I was just so angry, because I was just there like, you are a hypocrite, because you keep saying that Ava doesn't pay attention to you. Meanwhile, all you do is talk about how Ava is a horrible friend and Ava doesn't listen to you. Y le hace preguntas como que a Ava, diciéndole que, you don't know anything about me. You're my best friend, you don't know anything about me. What's my sister's name? What do my parents do for a living? Do I have a cat or not? Y como que ella sigue hablando y hablando. Y Ava, a esas preguntas que acabo de mencionar, Ava le responde. Ava, under her breath, like super quiet, answers like, her name is Elena. Your parents do this. You do have a cat. Like trying to prove that she does, pero does Daisy listen? No, because Daisy is in the zone. Daisy's just ranting, and it angers me. Because I feel like the point of the argument is not about Layla. That's not the problem. You are free to write whatever you want, honey. Just whatever you want. I get it. And yeah, Ava, maybe being her friend is kind of tough because, you know, of her OCD, it makes her kind of difficult to be her friend. And I get it that maybe you need some space to process those emotions. I get it. My problem with it, the problem is not the fact that you wrote Layla. The problem is that you posted it online where thousands and thousands of people read it and commented on it. That is not okay. That is totally not okay. I think that's slander and it's illegal, or defamation, and I think it's illegal. That's just so mean. Yeah, ella sigue diciendo like how difficult it is to be Ava's friend and whatnot. And I'm just here like, okay, so if being Ava's friend is so freaking difficult, then why don't you just leave? Why do you still hang out around with her? If it's so hard being her friend, explain yourself, girlie. Also, también otra cosa que ella menciona in her rant is how Eva, like, is so hung up on her privilege, like, porque Eva is a little bit more rich than Daisy. And, you know, Daisy kind of gets angry at that because she's just like, oh, you're just so hung up on your privilege, Eva. You think that everybody has the same amount of money as you. That's so insensitive, the things that you do and blah, blah. And I'm just there like, I'm sorry, girlie, but this kind of sounds like a you problem. Because here's the thing. Eva is not, like, millionaire. She's not rich. Not like Davis. Davis is a billionaire. He's, like, leagues ahead of both of them combined. But Eva is just slightly more rich than Daisy. I mean, Eva does have a car, and Eva, you know, does have a computer, and Daisy doesn't have a car and doesn't have a computer and has to share her room with her sister. And those are kind of like the things that she points out, like, oh, you get to have those things because you're more privileged and rich than me, and I don't get to have them, and I'm angry at you. And I'm just there like, okay, first of all, this sounds more of like you being insecure about the fact that Eva is slightly richer than you. That's the first thing. And first of all, it's like a slight difference. It's barely noticeable. So what? She says she has a car, a computer, and a room of her own. First of all, Eva is a single child, so it's not like she's gonna share it with anybody besides her mom, maybe. These are small differences. Eva still has to, like, basically has to use coupons to pay for her food and stuff like that. That's the first thing. And second of all, Eva, during this entire book, has not, like, been, like, making you feel less because of your financial situation. She has never boasted about her wealth in front of you. She has never diminished you because of it. I mean, yeah, so I feel like this is kind of a you problem. I feel like you're kind of projecting your insecurities onto Eva. No offense. That's just my perspective, and maybe I'm wrapped up in my own privilege, and that's why I view it this way. If you have a different opinion, I would love to hear it. Are you agree with Daisy? Do you think Eva is a bad friend because of what she said, that Eva is hung up on her privilege and that's why she quote-unquote mistreats Daisy. Do you agree with that? I want to hear it. I personally don't agree with it. So yeah, but that's just like a small thing. My big anger towards Daisy during this whole argument is que there's no justification for basically posting horrible things about your friend for thousands of people to read on the internet. And if Eva is such a terrible friend, and it's so horrible being her friend, and so difficult, and a burden, then why the heck do you keep hanging out with her? Just leave. You're not chained together. You can just go and find yourself a new friend. Okay, y ellas están teniendo esta discusión en el auto. Y Daisy just keeps talking and talking, y Eva es la que está manejando. Y Eva solamente la está escuchando, diciendo todo esto. Y luego en un momento en donde Daisy se calla, y Eva como que empieza a gritarle, telling her that she's sorry that she's so stuck up in her head. But, you know, having OCD is not that easy. It's difficult. And it's kind of a side effect of it, that you're inside your brain all the time, and she hates it too. She hates that she's stuck up, but inside her mind, but she cannot stop it. During that part, Eva crashes the car because she was so busy ranting to Daisy that she didn't notice that there was a car in front of her. And she crashes into it, and the car gets busted. I mean, it gets destroyed. And the phone also gets destroyed, both of them. Eva, you know, is crying because, oh my god, the car is destroyed, and the phone is broken, and she's crying, and it's horrible. And Daisy, remember that Daisy was accusing Eva of not knowing anything about her in spite of the fact that they're best friends? Well, guess what? When Eva's crying about the car and the phone, guess what Daisy does? She's just echando un boche a Eva. She's just like, oh my gosh, Eva, we were just in a car crash, and all you care about is the car and the phone. You are so hung up on your privilege. You're an idiot. You're the worst. This is why I wrote Layla about you and blah, 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 blah. And it just angers me because I'm just like, if you were her best friend, as you claim you are, you would know that this car and this phone were her dad's. That's why she's crying, you selfish idiot. But whatever. Después Eva, because of the car crash, she faints. Turns out she, como que, I don't know. Something happened to her. Something in the accident. I mean, she punctured something. They had to do surgery. I don't exactly remember what it was. Pero sí, she has to go to surgery. She spends a few weeks in bed and whatnot. And lo que me. Después de her next interaction with Daisy, Daisy's just like, oh, I'm so sorry about everything and blah, blah, blah. And Eva is just like, oh, no, I am sorry for being so up in my head and whatnot. And I'm just there like, no, Eva, you have nothing to apologize. You have OCD and your alleged friends know this. You did. She wrote horrible things about you on the internet for the whole world to read to. So you have nothing to apologize about, because that's the thing that annoys me. Esto que yo te estoy diciendo of the fact that tons of people read about Layla and the horrible things about Layla, it doesn't get brought up. I'm bringing it up, But the book doesn't brought up. They just act like, oh, the horrible thing is the fact that Daisy wrote those things. But no, that's not the bad thing. The bad thing is that she published it for everybody to read. That's the bad thing. But the book doesn't brought it up. I do. So, and that angers me. Pero nada, después de que Eva gets out of the hospital, she kind of has to break up with Davis because she's not in a good headspace. También porque, oh, they found the dad. O sea, Daisy y Eva found the billionaire's dead corpse. Kind of by accident, but they do find him. Y una vez que word gets out that he's dead, el papá, adivinen qué, all his millions, he's this billionaire. Do you know, en su testamento, a quién le van todos esos billones y billones de dólares? A una tua tara. ¿Qué? Una tua tara es un reptil que está en peligro de extinción, que tiene miles y miles y miles y miles de años, y lo tienen como en su casa, y el hombre le heredó todos los billones y billones de dólares a la tuatara, o sea, la mascota, para que, oh, because él quiere que como que la estudien a este animal y descubran cuál es su secreto de que hace que este animal esté vivo por millones y millones de años y que si lo descubren, then we will solve immortality and we will live forever and he'll be famous because he was the man who unlocked immortality and whatnot. So yeah, all the money doesn't go to his kids. It goes to a tuatara. So, y no me interpretes, como que Davis y el hermano todavía they have some money to subsistir until Davis becomes of age and can get a job of his own. Pero hasta ahora, that means que ellos se tienen que mudar con familiares a otro lugar, so he and Eva have to break up. Y yeah, that last scene together, it's sad, but kind of sweet. And yeah, that's how the book ends. That's quite a lot. So yeah, para concluir, there's this quote. It's quite simple, but I feel like it encapsulates the vibe of this book perfectly. Y dice así, I think and I think and I think. Ta-da! I know, simple, but it's really good. I liked it. Y bueno, ese fue el libro, Turtles All the Way Down. Pero esto no se ha acabado, folks, because guess what? As of the recording of this episode in April of 2022, anunciaron hace un par de semanas que va a salir la película The Turtles All the Way Down. Wow! That's great! Y sí, todavía está en producción, como que todavía ni siquiera tenemos un cast. I mean, they have the protagonist that's gonna play Eva. It's the same girl who played Dora the Explorer in the live action. Which, okay, I guess she can redeem herself, I guess. They're giving her a chance to redeem herself. Pero sí, eso es todo. O sea, no tenemos nada todavía. La película todavía se está grabando y está en postproducción. Pero sí, recién que salga, you can count that I'm gonna make an episode about it. So, suscríbanse al podcast. Para que cuando salga este episodio de la película usted pueda escucharlo. Dejen un review si les gustó este episodio. Compártanlo con sus amigos. Cuéntenme, what do you think about this book? Tell me your thoughts. Are you excited about the movie? I want to hear it all. En la descripción están mis redes sociales y pueden contactarme por ahí. Cuídense, pórtense bien, cómanse todos los vegetales y nos vemos hasta la próxima.